This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Kenny Omega, and you are listening to the New Japan Purecast. You fools!
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday evening, September 25th.
You're telling me.
And Damon, we are going to be talking all about both Destruction shows, which happened this past week. Of course, Destruction in Hiroshima from Thursday 9/22, and Destruction in Kobe from earlier this morning, Sunday 9/25. Damon, it's been a while since we recorded this late.
We'd never recorded this late. This is obscene.
There was one time where we recorded later than usual.
Yeah. Yeah, and that show stunk.
So strap yourselves in, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be a doozy.
This one is going to be a fucking doozy. It's 9 o'clock. I had to do the stupid Eagles, and what were they, 4:20 kickoff. And I don't get out of there until about 8:30, and I get home. And I'm in I didn't even turn off my computer. I just put it in sleep mode. Sat down. My wife's looking at me like, you're not really going to do a fucking show right now? And I'm like, yep. So I said, all right, look, I'm going to do it in the living room. This is the first time I'm doing the show in my living room. And with my wife sitting right next to me, she's enjoying a delicious pumpkin cheesecake. She's now embarrassed because I'm mentioning her. So not only will you get my hot takes, Colin, I'm sure you'll get plenty of hot takes from the missus.
Hey, I would love to have Mrs. McDonald on the show here, and I'd love to hear what she thinks of Captain New Japan's defection to the Bullet Club.
Yep. And she has a lot of nicknames for the guys, you know. Kota Ibushi has a nickname. Justin Bieber, she calls him.
Well, he does have those boyish good looks.
He does. He is adorable. What's Tanahashi? Superhero, was he? Yep, she nods at approval. Superhero guy is Tanahashi.
I know Shinsuke Nakamura's nickname. That's my favorite.
That's your favorite. Shinsuke Nakamura, right?
How about Jushin Liger?
Jushin Liger's Crazy Uncle Jushin. And that's where Crazy Uncle Jushin came from.
There we go.
Full credit. So she'll be here. She'll be miming her hot takes. Oh, wait a minute. She's looking at... What am I doing? What? Oh, Flatiron. Yeah, is Naito.
The new IWGP Intercontinental Champion.
That is correct. A big win for Naito. So I'm sure we'll get into that. And then even over the weekend, I went to the hospital.
Were telling me before we went on the air. What happened there?
It's my fucking shoulder, dude. My shoulder is a mess. I woke up. I couldn't sleep. It was just excruciating pain. And so I go to the hospital thinking, all right, they're going to be able to do something. Because I had it before. They gave me like a cortisone shot, and they gave me good drugs. They didn't give me – I was 0 for 2. They gave me fucking Midol. Was it Midol? Or what did they give me? She's not looking at me.
Midol.
I know, Midol's
for women take that for their
periods, isn't it? That wasn't Midol. It was, what was it? Motrin. Like 500 million. I can get that to fucking
Motrin. That's not going to do shit.
That's what I said.
I'll tell you what you need.
Tell me what I need.
You need some natural medicine, Damon, that God put here.
Heroin is what I need.
No, I wasn't talking about that.
No? Okay. I need something because it's right now it actually hurts right now. I'm icing it down as we speak. So not only am I exhausted, tired, because I literally didn't sleep at all last night or the entire weekend. I'm running on Red Bull and 5-hour energies, and I just barreled through this Eagles game, did the locker room, rushed through traffic because it's always crowded. Getting home, I get home, and now we're doing this. And now I'm bitching and moaning about this. So, but that's my weekend, man. So it's been crazy. But in between all that, I'm still dedicated. I'm still a professional. And I watch these shows. and we're going to talk about them here today. So you're getting a show, you ungrateful people, you. You're getting a show, you're getting me, you're getting Colin, and it's going to be a good show. I guarantee you. I guarantee you by the end of this show, you're going to say to yourself, God damn it, that was a good show.
And I'll tell you what. We're going to start off the show by doing something a little bit different. And we are going to talk about both of these shows in their entirety, of course. But I want to jump right to the main event from the 922 Destruction in Hiroshima show, because I'm really dying to talk about this Yoshihashi versus Kenny Omega main event. Of course, this was for the January 4th title shot, Kenny Omega putting that briefcase on the line against Yoshihashi, and this was the first time.
You're really into this. Why? Yeah, you want to start here, huh? I thought you were going to switch up and say Matt Sydal.
Well, we are going to talk about Mr. Sydal and his what shall we say vagabond
lifestyle,
nomadic lifestyle. Okay. But I thought we'd change things up a bit and talk about the main event from this Hiroshima show. This was the first time that Yoshihashi has been put in a main event position like this. Mm-hmm. I want your overall thoughts on how he did in this slot, because I mean, it obviously showed that the New Japan brass had a lot of faith in him to put him in a main event position, you know, going up against Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, I thought that this was a great match. I would give it about 4 stars. I thought that he really took the ball and ran with it. I know that some of the pundits weren't as impressed as I was, particularly Mr. Meltzer. I was listening to him say that Yoshihashi didn't really do a lot different in this match. What say you, Damon?
I thought he did smashingly. I mean, you know, he's not a top tier talent. I think we can all admit to that. He's not Tanahashi, Okada, Naito, Omega. He's not that level, right? And nobody's claiming that he is. But if, like I said, if you put a gun to my head, you know, at the Tokyo Dome last year and said Yoshihashi is going to main event any show, I don't give a shit if it was a Road 2 show. Singles match, main event, that's saying something. That's not, you know, that's nothing to sneeze at. And this was a pretty decent show that he was put in a major spotlight. I don't think, I know New Japan sets this bar and this standard of their main events. I get that. And I can't say that this would be a match of the year contender for New Japan, but I thought it was fine. Truth be told, I didn't really see a lot of online hate for it or online, you know, shoulder shrug. But I thought it was good. I thought Yoshihashi did a fine job, considering that this was really the biggest spotlight that he's had in quite some time. Yeah, I had no problem with it.
And let's be honest, we all knew going into this that there was no way that Yoshihashi was walking out with that main event briefcase to head into Wrestle Kingdom 11. But with that being said, I thought that he showed a tremendous fighting spirit in that match.
Right, and there are plenty of times, Colin, and correct me if I'm wrong, and again, you're right, nobody thought that he was winning this match, but there were times where it was some close calls and some near falls where you're like, oh! You know, and I think he was probably put in the toughest spot of anyone in the entire 3 destruction shows, because everybody knew there was no chance in fucking hell that he was winning. Right. But yet he still has the job to go out there to make it seem like that there is a chance and that, you know, and to have a good match to wrap around that. That's difficult to do. I thought he did that.
Absolutely. I mean, there was, speaking of close calls, there was a part in this match where he did that big power bomb into the jackknife pin, then he hit the swanton, then he locked in the submission. I mean, he was running wild for all over Kenny Omega for a lot of this match.
Yeah. You know, he had that serious, he had a serious hairdo. He had there wasn't no pompadour. You know, he didn't have his bouffant, if you will. He came to work, and he had the hair just wet and slicked back, and it looked like he got rid of the pink, and he was ready to rock and roll. I thought, look, again, he's not that upper ladder guy, but they needed to make a star. This was a safe match for Kenny Omega because he had to defend that briefcase sometime. This was a match to do so. No, I'm perfectly okay with it, and I think he did a great job considering, again, those circumstances of he's got to make it seem like he has a fucking chance, and everybody, no one thought he did, yet, you know, he still has to convince people that he might. I thought the crowd was into it, and these crowds were some tough crowds. Yeah. There were some good matches where they were sitting on their hands. You know, the for instance, the tag title match, the Briscoes and the Bucks. I thought that was
nobody
a good
cared
match.
About that.
But nobody, yeah, nobody fucking cared. But I think, you know, I think people were behind him, and you know, again, not to beat the dead horse, but I don't think there was a person in that building that thought he had a snowball's chance of winning that briefcase. But I thought he did an admirable job with the position that he was put in.
And besides the match, you know what I really loved about this? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I think that New Japan, more than any other professional wrestling company, does the best job at video packages. And they did a tremendous job with this one, showing the journey of Yoshihashi from a young lion up to what I consider to be his breakout moment. And I mm-hmm. encourage everyone to go back and check out this match from the G1 Climax Finals last year. I was very happy that they showed highlights of this match. His match against Michael Elgin. To me, if you're going to ask me what was Yoshihashi's breakout moment where it really made you kind of look at him as more than this, you know, curtain jerker, tagging with Captain New Japan,
the fall guy for chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And it goes back to that match. And I remember asking you about that match. Like, Damon, what did you think of that match with Elgin a year ago? And, well, you were there. I don't even know if you got to see that match live. But
I'm trying to remember. I don't know if you have the answer to this, but what was that, a Cork and Hall show?
No.
I remember Elgin wrestled Goto. I remember Elgin wrestled Ishii, right?
This was the finals of the G1 Climax last year at Sumo Hall.
Did I see that match? I may not have. And you know the heartache story with that. Me being at the finals and me realizing that it's 4 to a fucking booth and my fat ass had to sit in there. So I kind of waited till the last moment to sit, and I was watching the shows. Like, I had to keep moving. Like, I was watching it in the aisles. Like where you would walk to get to like where the food is. Of course, that's where I was.
Naturally.
But no, you know, so you had to kind of, you know, keep moving because you couldn't stand in certain spots. So I'm sure I saw it, but I don't remember it as much as I should have. The only thing I really remember definitively is the finals match, because I was like, I'm sitting down for this. Fuck this. I'm sitting. And I pushed my body for 30 minutes to sit Indian style or crisscross applesauce, as the kids like to say now, on those most uncomfortable sumo hall booths.
But anyway, my point being, I'm really happy that they showed that match, because to me that was like a breakout moment for Yoshihashi that kind of raised my eyebrows. And, you know, it all led up to this point, him defeating Kenny Omega at this year's G1 Climax and earning this shot at the G1 briefcase. And it made me more excited for this match anyway. I mean, like I said, we all knew that there was no chance in hell, no pun intended, that Yoshihashi was walking away with his briefcase. But the video package in particular did a great job at, tracing Yoshihashi's origins up to this point and getting you excited for the match. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think there's anybody on this roster that really can have a bad match. I mean, I think we had this conversation before, but if you're wrestling for New Japan, you're a top-tier talent. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a lot of guys that can have a bad... All right, listen. Give me three guys who's going to have a shitty match. Nakanishi,
Captain New Japan.
Mm-hmm. And who else? Like, give me one more guy.
Tonga Loa.
Okay, you got three.
There you go.
Okay, so there's three guys. All right. Good point. I'll be quiet now.
So let's talk about what happened after this match. So, of course, Kenny Omega picks up the victory. He hits the big running knee on Yoshihashi and the one-winged angel for the pin. And then Hiroki Goto comes out to help out Yoshihashi. Yeah. And he kind of points to Kenny Omega, you know, suggesting that he wants a shot at that G1 briefcase. And Omega gets on the mic and he shoots down Hirooki Goto. And he says that Goto getting a shot sounds like typical New Japan booking. And then he asks the fans if they want it. And he says he doesn't care because they can go to hell.
Ah, get fun. It? Yeah, I get it. I get it, Goto. Okay.
So you can assume that we're probably getting Kenny Omega versus Hirooki Goto at King of Pro Wrestling. Now, here's my question for you. If we do indeed get that match, Hirooki Goto has to win. Because if he doesn't, then this is New Japan's version of Dolph Ziggler.
Well, Chief, what do we say?
Chief J Goto. Chief J Goto, but what's the point?
That's his role. He is gatekeeper to the stars. He is the guy to put over the heels. When a heel gets to a certain level, you got to get past Goto.
It's getting laughable at this point, though.
It is.
It's getting very Dolph Ziggler-esque, Damon, you have to admit.
I mean, look.
He's here to show the world.
All right, enough of the references, will you please? If he comes out in like a denim jacket, we're fucked. I'm just saying.
With like Megadeth patches and poison patches.
Poison patches. I'm never watching this product ever again. That's who he is. Kenny Omega is not losing the briefcase. Sorry, that's not happening. I can't believe, I'm sitting here saying Kenny Omega's not losing the briefcase. He ain't losing the briefcase.
You never thought that he was going to have the briefcase.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I can't believe he's got the fucking briefcase. He's got the briefcase. He ain't losing it. I got to be honest with you. I was disappointed when I saw that. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, not for nothing, Goto? And I felt bad because it's like, to me, the most exciting thing Goto could do is tag with Ishii and go for those tag belts. Because to me, that's an exciting tag team. That's a tag team that I would be interested in watching numerous times. And I think the possibilities are many with a tag run for those two. And it makes sense. Chaos. That screams to me the direction that you would want to go with this. I'm not excited for Hirooki Goto to be put in this position because, again, I like Hirooki Goto.
I like Hirooki Goto, too.
Well, guess what? He's losing again. He's putting over the fucking top heel. That's going to be his role.
And that's my point. Like, why?
Why him?
Why even have this match again if we know that Kenny Omega is going to win,
Right. Enough of the defending the fucking briefcase. Can we just win it? You have it and you go on.
Yeah, he defended it once. Defended it against Yoshihashi. He defeated Yoshihashi. So now he's on his way to the Tokyo Dome.
Right. If you're going to stick anybody in a multi-man tag, that's who you're sticking in a multi-man tag. I feel like
if you're going to have this match, then Goto has to win.
Look, I just want him to win because I feel sorry for the poor sap.
And let me ask you this. Let's pretend that we're in some alternate universe here and Goto wins. He defeats Kenny Omega. He has the briefcase. How do you feel about that? And Goto going into the Tokyo Dome to take on Okada.
I'm selling my tickets. That's what I'm doing. So Damon McDonald is no longer going to Tokyo, or we'll find something better to do. I'm a Goto fan. I like Hirooki Goto, but no, nobody wants that. I mean, even if there was a slight possibility of that happening, nobody wants to see him headline the fucking Tokyo Dome, at least not in this scenario. You know what I mean? Like, I think the handwriting, everyone knows that. I don't want to say everyone knows, but I think it's a safe guess that everyone is leaning toward is Omega, Okada, Tanahashi, Naito. Those are the matches that are two matches that I'm more than 100% looking forward to, okay with, more than okay with. I'm thrilled with this. If I can't, again, everybody's going to be like, if I could Tanahashi, Okada. Yeah, okay. If I can't get Okada, Tanahashi for the 900th time, as everyone likes to think when it's really like the 8th. Okay, I understand. We're not going to go there. If I can't have that, this is fine. I'm all aboard this train. This is good stuff. Hirooki Goto is not in that mix. Hirooki Goto is tag team champions with Ishii. That's what I think people want to see. Nobody wants to see Goto win this thing, and he's not going to. But and I don't think anybody's going to be too excited about Goto and Omega singles match again, even though they did put on a fucking hell of a show at the G1.
Absolutely. And if nothing else, it'll be another great match. But, you know, again, here we are with Goto, you know, jobber to the stars.
Yeah, it's a shame. I don't want that for him. I want other things to have happen. And yeah, Gatekeeper, Chief J, Goto. What did somebody else call him? Like, what was it? King of, what was it? Strongbow style, was it?
Yeah, King of Strongbow style.
Yeah, so it is what it is. That's who he is.
All right, well, that was your main event for the Hiroshima show. So let's backtrack and go to the beginning, and let's go through this undercard here. The show started out with a six-man tag featuring the team of
Tenza?
Boy, is it late.
It is. You're telling me, champ.
Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Satoshi Kojima, Ricochet versus Togi Makabe, Yoshitatsu, and Captain New Japan.
Wait a minute, that wasn't on my lineup sheet. What happened, Colin?
Now, originally, this was supposed to be an eight-man tag, and Kanemitsu and Matt Sydal were supposed to be included in this match, but Matt Sydal went MIA there for a while.
I hope he's okay. I mean, apparently he's all right, right? Give us a story.
Okay, so Matt Sydal is, as we are recording this, he is chilling in Hawaii.
Quote, end quote.
You know, I got all worried about Matt Sydal because nobody had heard from him in like 4 days, and there was all kinds of crazy talk and speculation about how, oh, he's going to WWE, he's done with New Japan, blah, blah, blah.
Lex Luger.
Yeah,
he's going to show up in Mall of America.
He's going to show up on Nitro with Jushin Liger. And
that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I knew that he had plane issues, right? That was the first thing I had heard, right?
Yeah.
And then, actually, I was at the game when you texted me, and you're like you did say something kind of funny that hopefully won't come true, but, you know, worried about Matt Sydal. And I was like, what's going on? And he's like, I think you had said that you had listened to
Dave
Meltzer, yeah, and he had mentioned that not only was he a no-show for these shows, but nobody's heard from him.
I believe that his quote was, "This guy should be on the side of a milk carton by now."
Is that what he said?
Yes.
Oh, Big Dave. Well, listen, I hope he's okay, right? Apparently he's okay, right?
Yeah, so let me read his tweets here. He finally, you know, checked in with all of his fans on Twitter. He hadn't tweeted in 4 days prior to this.
Well, neither have I, so I mean, nobody's worried about me. I don't have anybody texting me, are you okay?
Well, Damon, you don't have quite the high profile as Matt Sydal, but anyway, this was about an hour ago as we're recording here. He said, "Hi, everyone. Had passport trouble at the border after spending an entire day at LAX. Chilling in Hawaii until this sorts out. # travel woes."
I keep waiting for his next week to be, "Where'd you get that jacket?"
And then, you know,
fucking Jeff Spicoli, everyone. Come on, stay with me. All
right, apparently, you know, listeners were, fans were expressing concern over him, and he said, "Thanks, everyone, but I'm the kind of guy that likes to go off the grid sometimes. # aloha."
As he's blazing up.
Yeah.
He's got
probably
a bong.
Smoking some peyote right now.
Oh, he's fucking out of his mind right now. Look, I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, and thank God, because I was legitimately concerned about Matt Sydal. I mean, I pictured him in a ditch somewhere. Like,
right, a drug deal going bad or something.
On the side of Roppongi.
Listen, we can all tell those stories, right? Look, he's
a free spirit.
I mean, I think I'll give you that, but that's I mean, look, I'm glad everything worked out in the end, but what the fuck is he thinking? Like, he just doesn't show up? And from what I've been reading, like, New Japan hadn't even heard from him, right?
Nobody had heard from him.
See, that's irresponsible, man. Like, I don't know. That That's weird shit. Like something that's not just a thing where I just didn't feel like showing up. Hey, I'm a loosey goose kind of guy. Hey, responsibilities, responsibilities.
He's reborn.
Okay. Well, that
from
sounds
the ashes.
Well, yeah, literally the ashes. You know, to me, it sounds them. Look, you don't just have passport problems. You don't have passport problems unless there's a problem, right? I'm not saying anything happened, you know. Japan don't fucking mess around with that shit. I mean, I think, what was it? Were the Beatles band? Or was it the Stones or some band? Like they tried to bring it, like, for years they were banned. They couldn't play in fucking Japan because they were like, they don't mess around with that. So I'm not saying that's the case, but...
You know what the policy is in Japan on marijuana, for instance?
Yeah, they have zero tolerance, dude.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, zero tolerance. That's a problem. Because like I said, it was like, I want to say, and this was way back. But yeah, no, they don't fuck around with that shit. And here's the thing, though. But he couldn't have possibly got to Japan. So it wasn't that. Like he had to cross U.S. customs, you know, and get all that shit done, and then get on a plane, and then go through Japanese customs. Well, he never got on the plane to get to Japan, so it's not like he got detained at Narita. But he just didn't show up. It sounds like, and that's, I don't know, that's something's not right with that. That does, and again, I don't know the story. I sent out, like, when you told me, I sent out the
feelers,
yeah, to be like, oh, what the fuck's going on there? And I got one that said, I got no fucking idea, right? And
I know who that was from.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think. Take a guess, though.
It's from Eric.
No.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That one wasn't from Eric. Eric was like, I'll see if I can find out. But the other one was, I have no fucking idea. So. Yeah, it was, and no one knows. That's weird. I don't know. And what about those prestigious never belts? You can't just fucking toss them aside.
I know. I know. Well, yeah. Hey, one man's loss is David Finley's gain.
Yeah, how about that?
That's the old saying.
All right, so here we go. We got this match. Let's talk about this
six-man
match.
Tag here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tenzan, Kojima, and Ricochet versus Makabe, Yoshitatsu, and Captain New Japan. Not a whole lot to say about this opener other than Ricochet was definitely the star of this match. Mm-hmm. Kojima hits the Lariato on Captain New Japan for the pinfall. Basic six-man tag opener that we've seen 1,000 times.
Yeah, Kojima's thumb was all taped up. I noticed that. That didn't look good. Makabe, you know, he did two bumps the entire match. He did the suplex spot. He did the back drop slam. Ricochet's one of those guys, Colin. Every time he's in the ring, the level of my interest and the level of the match quality just goes up tenfold. He's just one of those guys that can spark, you know, in a match that really means nothing. He can add so much spark.
Ricochet is a star.
He is a star. So, and Yoshitatsu, he struggled once again, which is really unfair. I mean, I get the neck stuff, but
when he was in the ring with Ricochet, I didn't think he was all that bad.
Yeah, I thought he was okay, but you could just tell he can't keep up with a guy like Ricochet. He just can't. And again, Makabe, the one spot where Tenzan and Kojima whip in Makabe into the ropes. And you think it's going to be like a double clothesline, and he ducks. Like, as he's bouncing off the rope, I'm like, Makabe ain't taking that fucking bump. And lo and behold, ducks the clothesline, and he delivers his double clothesline of his own. I was like, I just knew he wasn't going to take the bump. It was just like, I just knew there was no way he was lying on his back for any extended period of time. So, funny one there. Yeah, it was a fine match. I mean, you know, what are you going to say? Yeah, I think we said enough about that. All right.
Speaking of bumps, I want to talk about an epic bump that happened in this next match.
Oh, yeah, I know.
We have got Red Dragon, Taguchi, and David Finlay taking on Yuji Nagata, Manabu Nakanishi, Honma, and Tagger Mask. Okay, so Nakanishi attempts this plancha to the outside on Kyle O'Reilly. and he completely misses.
Yeah, the poor guy.
Maybe he hits Kyle O'Reilly's legs a little bit, like O'Reilly had to like walk into him, kind of.
Yeah.
And he sold for him, of course, and oh my god, it was just.
It was sad. I felt bad for him. Like, and here's the thing too. He at least had he has the balls to do it. He should. There's no logical reason why he should be doing a move like that. Number one, but he pulls that out every once in a while. He'll do that, and you could see him kind of gearing himself up for the dive. He's like, you know, he's kind of, you know, giving himself momentum to do to give himself the slingshot effect over the top rope, and. Yeah, usually there's like four or five guys that are in that position to catch him, and it was just Kyle O'Reilly. And Kyle O'Reilly was like, did not have the distance on that. And I felt bad for him. It's just a reminder that everyone gets old. Just that.
Somebody actually tweeted us about about this spot.
Really?
It was at Downward Spirals, and they said, there needs to be a mention this week of Nakanishi's epic crossbody to O'Reilly in Hiroshima, and he has in there hashtag Super Junior.
Poor Nakanishi. Look, he tried. I'll give him credit. I mean, at least he tried. He did more than fucking Makabe in the match before, that's for sure. Don't you think it was weird, though? So they split up Honma and Makabe, right?
Yeah,
so
they did.
You know, so I thought that was weird. Like I don't know if that's like pecking order at this point with tag teams. Like, was that like a subliminal message to everyone to say, hey, you know, not to say that they're breaking up, but they're disposable, Makabe and Honma. Again, why not break up Nakanishi and Nagata? I don't understand. Or I don't know.
You can't break up Nakanishi and Nagata, Damon. Are you out of your mind?
Well, I guess not. They're solid middle of the road tag team. I just thought that was kind of weird. Again, Nakanishi, that's just such a shame.
So Red Dragon hits Chasing the Dragon on Honma, then Tiger Mask interferes, breaks it up, then eventually they hit Chasing the Dragon on Tiger Mask for the pinfall.
I didn't like that. But we couldn't. No, I mean, listen, the whole idea is to get Red Dragon over as heavyweights, right? So why not pin Honma? I mean, you can't pin fucking Honma.
Yeah, and you know what? It's interesting because Honma picked up yet another win on the 25th show from earlier this morning.
Right, but again, it's Honma. We can't fucking have him lie down. Like, they hit, the maneuver.
What a maneuver.
Right, and they hit it, and then they kind of waited for Honma to roll out of the way so that they can do it on Tiger Mask and then get the count. I don't know. I thought that was fucking lame.
Yeah, I don't know. Honma's like being protected almost now. I mean,
that's silly.
Yeah. We've talked about it. You know, to death now. This is dangerous waters for Honma because that charm of that being that lovable loser who you're waiting for him to win the big one. Well, man, he's won a lot of big ones now.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. That gimmick's fucking dead.
Yeah.
And again, but even with that said, you mean to tell me he can't take the fucking fall? Come on.
I don't know.
I thought that was kind of shit. And again, we're trying to get Kyle O'Reilly over as a heavyweight and a serious contender.
And he pinned the junior.
And he pinned the junior. And not only did he not pin, he didn't even try. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was weird. And that's the second time I think that's happened. I don't know. That left a little bit of a bitter taste in my mouth, to be quite frank.
At least it was a legendary junior.
Good point. Yeah.
So Kyle O'Reilly afterwards calls out Katsuyori Shibata, who couldn't make both of these shows. Shibata out with a spine injury, I believe.
Yeah, we talked about that last week and how he shouldn't have even wrestled that last match with Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Colin, he is not – he should – like, I heard when it was at Ring of Honor show in Brooklyn, like, that he is, like, in bad shape. And he shouldn't have wrestled that match. And then he wrestles that match, and lo and behold, he's even more hurt after that match. And didn't I sit here and say, like the shots he was taking and the shit that he was doing and the fucking headbutt? And it was, you know, that unnecessary headbutt. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's it caught up with him. And, you know, like, you know,
There's talk of Kyle O'Reilly wrestling Yuji Nagata in Shibata's place, but nevertheless, he still called out Shibata at both of these shows and said that he can run, but he can't hide. And here you go. It looks like they're still building towards this Kyle O'Reilly Shibata match for the NEVER title.
I mean, I don't think Shibata can run either. To be quite frank, I don't think he's, doing much. Yeah, it's a shame. All right, there we go. So David Finley, Taguchi, and Red Dragon, an odd tag team to say the least, gets the win, right?
That'd be a great Survivor Series tag team.
It really would be. It's a Fire Pro, you know? Remember? Clink, clink, Fire Pro.
Oh, there's going to be more Fire Pro talk here as we progress. But
good, because I've been I'm doing my own G1 tournament, as a matter of fact.
Are you really?
I really am. It's awesome.
Here's something else.
It really is. You know, I'll take a break from work and I'll pop on Fire Pro and have a couple simulated matches, and it's quite a tourney I have going on right now.
All right, so this next match we had the Guerrillas of Destiny taking on Roppongi Vice. Now, my first thought was, okay, this is kind of cool because we're starting to see the combination of the tag divisions, but that was quickly shot down later in the night.
All right, so do you want me, I'll just give you my heartfelt, you know, just raw notes on this match. Would you mind? Do you think the listeners would want to hear this?
Oh, we would be tickled pink.
I'm sure you would. All right, so here we go. I have Tama Tonga found his indie makeup, right? Because he's wearing his makeup again, right? Two, crowd is so fucking quiet. First half of this match was a fucking Raw tag match. It literally was like it was a WWE tryout match. That's exactly how I felt with this match. Like, this match was, I felt like I was watching Raw. It was cookie cutter Raw spots, cookie cutter. Like, this, you could just plop this right on Raw and it would fit perfectly. Nothing. I mean, at least Rocky Romero tried, but everything else was just, it was like watching the Shining Stars versus the Usos. That's exactly what I felt like I was watching. And not for nothing, the heavyweights went over.
Yeah, and I was, like I started out to say, I was initially excited that, you know, okay, they're starting to combine the heavyweight and the junior heavyweight tag teams. But again, that got all shot down in the next night, and we're going to talk about that. But yeah, you know, like you said, this was a very WWE-style match. Tama Tonga hits the gun stun on Rocky Romero, then they hit the double team DDT for the pin, and that was that. Guerrillas of Destiny picking up the win over Roppongi Vice.
What does Tonga Loa bring to the table, Colin? Like, seriously, like help.
Didn't
help
we talk me about this last week?
We may have, but I need to revisit it. Like, what value does he bring to New Japan Pro Wrestling?
Well, he is King Haku's other son.
Seriously, do you think this is a favor? Like, is this a, like, because I don't think Tama Tonga has that much pull in the company to be like, yo, bring in my brother.
Is his brother. Although I think that they're adopted.
Okay, I sounded like Brian Alvarez there for a minute. The family tree of King Haku.
That was amazing.
I know you loved it. But I don't think he has that kind of pull, and I don't think King Haku has that kind of pull either.
I think that they just needed a tag team partner for Tama Tonga. They weren't about to go and push him as a singles competitor. Just yet, and in my opinion, the obvious tag team partner was the 800-pound gorilla in the room
of Destiny.
Bad Luck Fale.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we were hoping for too. And I don't think to a person anybody had a problem with that. We would kind of look forward to that.
That would have been a much more interesting tag team than him and Tonga Loa.
Right, I just find it amazing. Like, so I have a joke when I go to cover sports. So we'll sit up in the press box and we'll look at, you know, people who wear jerseys, right, or you know, sweaters if it's hockey, or you know, people who buy the team's jersey, right? And there's always like clowns who buy like the most obscure player. You know what I mean? Like just crazy fucking, you know, like a player who's played like two games for them. And it's like, man, you got fucking disposable income or something to buy that jersey, you know? And that's what I feel like New Japan had at a certain point in time. Like, like somebody had disposable income and or owed a favor or something.
They're just burning through yen.
Right. Like, I don't understand why him. Like, what? Why him? I don't get that one. I just don't get that.
I suppose, like, you know, maybe the thought process was, okay, we're going to have this badass Tongan tag team, and these guys are just going to be, you know, two big bad Tongans that go in there and they beat people's ass, but yeah. It doesn't come across like that.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. It comes across like his offense is just slow and it's a WWE match.
Yeah, he looks like he should be on NXT.
He can't. I don't even think. I don't think he.
He should be having matches with Ty Dillinger. Like, I don't on NXT.
I don't think he's horrific. I just think he's just not a fit. Like, he just doesn't fit the fucking style that I guess is it good to have different styles? I don't know. He just doesn't do anything for me. I don't know many people that enjoy G-O-D tag team. And not for nothing, it looks like we're going to get fucking more of it. And that's not good. Why does Ghetto hate the fucking tag division, man?
I don't know. And I thought that they were turning a corner here. I really did.
This is the perfect time. Me too. I really thought that this was the beginning of the dark ages of New Japan heavyweight tag. And he keeps doing the same fucking shit with it. Like he has the opportunity to turn a corner and move forward, and he just doesn't do it. And if there's one gripe that I have with him, and I hate people who kind of get on the booking, but I'm gonna get on the booking. I do not understand what he sees in this tag team. Colin, did you hear the crowd during this match?
No,
exactly.
I did not hear the crowd.
That's exactly the answer I wanted to hear. Has there ever been a match where the crowd has even been tepid? Like, has even been lukewarm to G-O-D? And I don't give a shit what city it is. It's not like, this is a Tokyo city, or this, you know, this they're not over in this town, but in this town they're over, and in this environment. Never have they been over. I don't get it. I'm really at a fucking loss. And again, people are going to make excuses and say, well, they're this type of tag team, and this, and they're here for this reason. Okay, there's so many other people that honestly could use the work, and I don't understand what the fascination is with this tag team, and not for nothing, the fascination with constantly ignoring and neglecting the tag division. I just don't understand it.
Well, moving up the card here, we've got a tag team match featuring the team of Yujiro Takahashi.
Speaking of the tag division,
the Tokyo Pimp and his partner, Chase Owens, taking on Hirooki Goto and Tomohiro Ishii, the tag team that we're all pining for.
Yeah, I mean, the right team won. Takahashi's in, again, we've said it before, in full-fledged Godfather mode.
I hate that music, by the way. I miss the seductive sax so much. I can't even tell you.
Listen, they're. You know when we were talking about Takahashi and we're like, they don't give a shit about him. They don't even let him come out with the girls anymore. They're not even going to invest in them for him. And you know, and not for nothing, they said, okay, we're going full fledged Godfather mode on you, and that's who you're going to be. So we're going to go all in on it, and he's getting renewed interest, and they're bringing the girls back, and the whole, and oh my God, Colin, I actually watched the second half of this show in the press box. I couldn't watch the show.
Right,
I was embarrassed. I was like, oh my God, people are going to think I'm like watching porn or something. I really had to fast forward. I had to like jump ahead. I was like, I can't. Would they come out in the bunny hats and everything?
Yeah, yeah. They had these bunny ears on.
It was like it was full-fledged like S&M-y, you know.
Bondage-y.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, it was, you know. I don't think it was for all audiences at that point. Like, for me to be like, oh my God, I hope nobody's watching me watching this.
Do you want to see that in your New Japan?
You know, I'm not one, like, I don't get, like, people who get all, I don't know, worked up over, I don't know. I could take it. It's pro wrestling, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I prefer not to be truthful. I think it's, I don't know. I think it's, I think we're past that point. Like, it's 2016.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I just kind of think, like, you know, you call me Progressive Damon, but I don't know. It's just like, it just seems silly. You know what I mean? It just seems like, I don't know. To me, if you really want a TNA, there's so many other places where you can get it that's a lot more explicit than pro wrestling. You know what I mean?
There are a plethora of places on the interwebs.
Yeah. Listen, there's something for everyone on the interwebs, in case you didn't know. I don't know. I just think it's kind of silly. I don't know. To me, it is. I don't know. It just doesn't. And it never has. Like, I've never been like, the guy who's been like, oh, Maria Kanellis or
Sable.
Sable, or, you know, like that whole Attitude Era thing. Like, that did nothing for me. Like the sexiness, the sexy, risque stuff.
Was Jerry just like, Springer.
Yeah, I was just kind of
Howard
like,
Stern.
Yeah, well, I mean, but listen, I like that comedy, mind you, but like, sure. Like not like pro wrestling. Like, I think there's a time and a place for everything. Like, it's not like I'm a prude. You know, and I'm like, oh, you know, listen, I like a little raciness, but not, you know, I don't know. Just it's, I think it's silly in pro wrestling. I do. I just find it to be, I don't know. I do get embarrassed by that. Like, that embarrasses me. Like, I can't watch that. Like if my wife's walking in there, my wife, by the way, is asleep on the couch. Just as an FYI, she's so bored by this conversation. She's out on the couch. I don't know. I just, like, I fast forward through that. Like, if I know it's coming, I'm just like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed when I watch it. You know? And even she's like, she'll walk in and she'll be like, oh, they're like WWF. And she'll call it WWF still. You know, it's like, oh, what is, I didn't think they did that there. And I was like, well, you know.
But they do.
Yeah, it is pro wrestling, dear. Uh-huh. It's not the most highest brow of entertainment, but, well, yeah. Yeah, what is what it is. All right, so Chase Takahashi, huh?
Yeah, so the final stretch of this match, we saw Chase Owens hit the package driver on Goto. Ishii breaks it up. Goto eventually hits the Ushigiroshi. We saw a big Lariato by Ishii, then the GTR by Goto on Owens for the 1-2-3. And there you have it, Goto and Ishii picking up the win over Takahashi and Chase Owens.
You would hope that would have led to something, or will lead to something.
It led to nothing.
It really didn't, because in my mind, it was like, wow. You know, as I'm watching this show, I'm like, wow, well, this is a great opportunity for Goto and Ishii. And I'm thinking, you know, they might actually win the belts before the tag tournament, because the Briscoes, your current IWGP champions, and the Young Bucks, your current junior champions, you know, they are going to be needed. Is it Ring of Honor's final battle? Is it?
Yes.
So that's during the World Tag League, right?
In December.
Right. So the World Tag League, you're going to want your world champions in the annual New Japan Tag Team Tournament in December, right? So I'm thinking out loud to myself, you know, this might be a great time for Goto and Ishii to kind of swoop in, take the belts, go into the tournament, and then the Dome and defend the belts. It would make logical sense. It doesn't look like that's going to fucking happen, Colin.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it's fucking disappointing. They picked up the win, so maybe there's more around the corner, but you know, I was a little disappointed as the night and the weekend went on.
All right, the next match, we saw another 8-man tag featuring the team of Los Ingobernables de Japón taking on Juice Robinson, Kushida, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Michael Elgin. And the story of this match really was between Naito and Elgin building up for the big showdown for the IWGP Intercontinental title. Started out with LIJ on the attack very early, and Naito and Evil going to work on Big Mike's left leg, and he is eventually escorted to the back.
Yeah. I think, first of all, I liked the last 5 minutes of this. I thought the last 5 minutes of it was really strong. Yes, this whole match was a catalyst for Elgin to have a sore leg by the time he wrestles Naito. And I like this. You're going to think this is weird. Not weird, but odd.
Out of character?
Out of character is a good one. But, like, I wish Elgin sold the leg more.
Wow, Damon complaining about selling.
I'm not complaining. But I would have liked to have seen that play a little bit more of a factor. If that's the story that we were going to tell, again, a bum wheel going into his match against Naito. He's doing a lot of power spots and a lot of stuff where you would really need your leg at the end of this match. He got the win over, was it Evil, right?
Yeah, he did. He hit the buckle bomb on Evil and then the Revolution Elgin bomb for the pin.
Yeah, so I would have liked to have seen something, I don't know, a little less leg strength worthy, if that's a term that's appropriate. But again, a little nitpicky thing, And I'm not like a guy who's going to sit there and talk about selling. I'm not that guy. But yeah, that
you
actually
need to slow down a hair and sell more and get right. Better lighting.
Get better light. That's what they really need. You know what? You know what's weird? Was it this show? Yeah, it was this show. The lighting on this venue. It was weird because the ring was lit up, but like when things got to the outside, there were times where it was really fucking dark. And I was like, is this my laptop? So, yeah, the lighting was kind of screwy, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah, QJR for this. No, but Elgin looked strong by pinning Evil. I think that was a good, strong move because I think, again, a lot of people going into the match with Naito picked Naito to take the strap. I think we did as well. So
we did.
So getting Elgin a win again over Evil, which is weird to make the champion look strong.
And not only that,
kind of needed. Yeah.
Not only that, he hit the Elgin bomb on Naito after the match as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, isn't it weird like that the champion needed to look strong going into the match? Usually, it's the other way around, right?
Yeah, well, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, and this is not to take away anything from Big Mike, I don't think the booking of him as champion was really all that great.
He
had one title defense, yeah. And it wasn't even at a New Japan show.
Yeah, you know what? Who was? You know, you might want to look up on Facebook while I ramble on. What's his name? Andrew. There was a guy who chimed in. He's a good fan of ours, and he's a good pro wrestling fan. He does come to the table with a lot of good points often. He mentioned that. He said, hey, you know, just as an FYI, you know, because we talked about Elgin's run as Intercontinental Champion, and we were like, you know, it seemed pretty good. You know, it seemed like he held the belt and he did a good job with it. Well, you know what? In hindsight, and he made mention of this, he's only defended it once. That's and it doesn't feel that way, right? Because he won the Intercontinental, then he went to Mexico and won that tournament, right? And then he went right into G1, where it felt like he had a lot of singles matches, right? And he would win and lose and have great matches, but none of them were IC title defenses. He had one IC title defense, Colin, in Brooklyn. It was in Brooklyn, New York,
and you were there.
Was it Dijak?
Yeah, Donathan Dijak.
It was a great match, but like when that was said in that post, on that Facebook post, I was like, you know what? He's fucking right. And then that's weird. What? He had no title defenses. I thought that was weird. But again, because it was shoved in the middle of G1 where you had all these singles matches, it felt like that he had, you know, a strong run as champion. But, you know, let's be truthful. He really didn't. He didn't have a strong run as champion.
No.
He had no title defenses.
So maybe that's why they had to make him look strong going into his match against Naito.
Yeah, I mean that's really it. That's crazy. But yeah, that's exactly what it felt like happened here. But yeah, that was a good. And again, I'm terrible with names. I never get names, but we'll remember it. You know, we'll give you full marks. But you know who you are. You did a good job there. I think I want to say his name is Andrew. I could be wrong. All right. Enough of the pats on the back there. So Elgin gets the big win over Evil. All right.
Moving up the card, we arrive at the tag team match for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. The Briscoes the champs defending against the junior heavyweight champions, the Young Bucks, in what I thought was a very good match. But like we alluded to at the top of the broadcast, it didn't really go over well in front of the New Japan audience. And for what it's worth, you know, the Briscoes just don't, they're not that over in front of this audience. And I think part of the reason, and I know you've said this before, is that we don't really get to see them often.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm almost 100% certain that that Ring of Honor just does not air there. Like, their television doesn't air in Japan. And I thought that there was talk of them actually...
being on Samurai?
Yeah, on Samurai. But I don't think that's the case. Because I never see that... Because when I'm watching Samurai, it's usually, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, or late night in Tokyo, right? So, you know, when I'm waking up and watching 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the afternoon here on the East Coast of the United States, you know, it's, you know, the opposite time there. So
some people watch the morning news when they wake up with their coffee. Damon's watching...
Battleman. Yeah, I'm watching Big Japan. Yeah, so... You know, and then that's usually when they'll stick a show like that on there, like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. But I haven't seen it. So that's problem number one. Colin, I think the Briscoes fucking I got to tip my hat to them because
they work their asses off.
They really do, Colin. They really do every time. And they get nothing in return. Yes, they have the tag straps. But, man, these crowds are tough on the fucking Briscoes. They really are.
I mean, Mark Briscoe is doing moonsaults to the outside and landing on his feet. Like,
yeah. I mean, they go balls out. And I will say this, though. They should never wear those fucking tights.
I knew that's where you were going. I knew it. I knew it was going to be an attire-related comment.
Oh, they stunk. I don't know if they were holeless skirts or they were wearing a fucking Christmas tree. I don't know what the fuck was going on. I know, are they like a hunting thing?
I think it's
a camouflage.
Yeah, that's not exactly my scene. But what did you think of the match itself?
I thought the match was great. I really did. But this was a perfect example of how a crowd can hurt a match. And we say this a lot when it comes to Young Bucks matches, man. But if you put a Young Bucks match like that on any Ring of Honor show or any PWG show or any indie show, man, it would get rave reviews. This crowd just sat on their fucking hands with this. And don't give me that, well, it's a Japanese crowd and they're reserved and blah, blah. Okay, generally, yes, but I've seen Japanese crowds go batshit. Dude, I was watching Chono versus Onita from the Dome, electrified barbed wire match. They fucking hated Onita so much. Colin, I've never seen this before. And I saw this match a few times, but it just didn't resonate with me until again watching it again, and it's fitting for the conversation that we're having. They were throwing bottles and trash at him as he was walking to the ring, like I've never seen a Japanese crowd do. It looked like Hogan NWO, you know, the rings where people were just throwing shit in a ring at them. They were just chucking bottles and cups full of soda and beer. And
Mean Gene there in the ring. Do you care to explain yourselves?
I mean, they were getting fucking like he's getting killed. So don't give me the fact. Listen, they can let their hair down. You know, I don't want to speak for a culture, mind you, but there are times when you can watch through the history of Japanese pro wrestling. There are times where these guys will lose their shit. You know, when something happens in a pro wrestling match. And I'm not saying that this was one of the top defining moments in the history of pro wrestling in Japan, but this was a good match.
It was.
They didn't give him anything. And not for nothing, Colin, I hate to say this, but we say this a lot about Young Bucks matches. It seems like we always say this about Young Bucks matches. And there were times where the crowd got into it, right? They got them and it was their work that helped. But they would lose it again and It's we're always saying this about Young Bucks matches in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I don't know what it is, but they just can't fucking take these guys seriously. Or I don't want to say get behind them, but it's a struggle. These matches are good. This was a good fucking match. That I don't say got shit on, but man, it got no love.
Yeah, like you said, put this in front of a Ring of Honor crowd or a PWG crowd, it would go over great and get, you know, all kinds of snowflakes thrown at it. But for whatever reason, you know, the Bucks and the Briscoes, yeah, they kind of go over like a fart in church here in New Japan.
I mean, do you think it's as simple as, and I hate to be this guy, but do you think it's just as simple as they're not Japanese?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Really?
I do. I was thinking about that today, actually. You know, this is you're wrestling in front of a Japanese audience, and it's Gaijin versus Gaijin. And we saw the same thing, and why don't we get into that, in the ROH World title match between Adam Cole and Will Ospreay. And, I mean, here's another match that if you would have put this in front of a Ring of Honor or a PWG crowd, this would go over amazingly. But
I didn't like this match as much.
I thought it was a good match. I wasn't as blown away by it as I thought I was going to be going in.
I thought the tag match was head and shoulders above this match.
Yeah, I will have to agree with you there. The tag match was better than this. But and nevertheless, I thought it was a good match, and the crowd wasn't exactly on the edge of their seat for this one either.
Right. Now, listen, I'll give I won't shit on the fans too hard on this because it was Adam Cole. Now, Adam Cole, I mean,
Wait. Adam Cole, baby.
Ugh, I'm going to be honest with you. I loathe that. I really do. I don't like that at all. You know, and Adam Cole, you know, the last time he was in New Japan was at the finals at the G1 at the Sabo Dome with Michael Bennett against Liger and Captain New Japan of all tag teams. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I don't remember that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a, you know, fucking match that you could just, you're never going to remember it, but yeah.
From 2014.
Yeah. The Sabo Dome. Yeah.
Huh.
But nobody knew who Adam Cole was. You know what I mean? Like, Adam, nobody, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think they know what Ring of Honor is. Yeah, like the casual pro wrestling fan?
In Japan?
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be, you know, they're not going to know who Adam Cole is. And
you don't think they're tape trading Ring of Honor tapes on the streets of Tokyo?
If you know, we can get up, set up an exchange, I'd be more than happy for anybody there. I'll tape. Well, listen, you can
Dragon versus Nigel McGuinness from London.
That would be my guy. But here's the thing too: it's not like the Young Bucks are, you know, this is their first go round in New Japan. Been there for how many years now?
Yeah,
I mean, and the Briscoes, you know. This year was they debuted at the Dome, right? At the six-man with Yano.
Yeah, they won the first ever never openweight six-man tag titles.
Right. So, I mean, it's not like they don't know who the fuck they are. I mean, they've been here long enough. It's, you know, it's
since
almost
January.
October. Right. It's almost October, guys. I mean, we know who the Briscoes are. So, to me, there's really not a lot of an excuse for I don't know who this person is. Adam Cole, okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, but Will Ospreay, they know.
Maybe
point,
the Japanese
right?
audience just can't connect with two chicken farmers from Sandy Fork, Delaware.
I think that's maybe what it is. I mean, there's something that they just can't connect with. And here's the thing, it's not like the first time they've ever seen two American tag teams go at it. I don't know. For whatever reason, it's just something they couldn't connect with. Both of these matches, it felt like they couldn't connect with.
Jumping back to the tag match for a second, I just wanted to talk about the finish here. We saw the Briscoes give Matt like a Splash Mountain neck breaker off the top rope. Matt kicked out, then eventually they hit the Doomsday Device as Matt is flipping them the bird for the pinfall. And then after the match, our worst nightmare comes true as the Gorillas of Destiny come out, attack the Briscoes, and here are my notes, actually. Here's what I wrote. G.O.D. attacks Briscoes after match. Please, God, no.
here's my notes. Dot, dot, dot. And fucking G.O.D. hit the ring. Parentheses. Good Lord of all the fucking tag teams. I said, no one. No, I have. God is dead and no one cares, as Trent Reznor would sing. no one cares. No one cares. No one fucking cares. Yeah, that's what I have. G.O.D. Unbelievable. Can you seriously?
There
why?
Goes your all of your hopes for the intermingling of these tag divisions and possibly for the unification of these tag belts. All of those hopes right down the toilet.
Well, all your hopes.
Well, no, well, I think you were hoping for that too. Come on.
I have no problem. It would be something different and something new. I really didn't think they would go back and like completely go back to the future. You know what I mean? Like
we have to go back.
I mean, I can't believe that after all of that we've gone through in the summer, the spring and the summer, after all that we've gone through with G.O.D., that and we thought we had cleared that hurdle. We thought we were done with it. We thought we it's like we did our hard time. You know, we did our hard time for our pro wrestling crimes. Hard times, Dad. But we're going back there. I don't understand it. It's really boggles.
You
want to
know about
mind.
Hard times? Hard times watching G.O.D. take on the Briscoes for the 10th time. That's hard times, Daddy.
I'd die with kings and queens. Oh, for fuck's sake, Colin. G.O.D.
God.
They why?
God.
Help me understand. Why?
Well, maybe one of our listeners can help us understand. If you're out there and you're really into this tag team, the Guerrillas of Destiny, please tweet us, Facebook us, and give us your thoughts on why you enjoy this tag team for whatever reason. So we're going to see the Guerrillas of Destiny challenging the Briscoes at King of Pro Wrestling in October. That should be a real hoot. So this ROH World title match, the finish of that, we saw Will Ospreay go for the Os Cutter, but Adam Cole just kicks him in the leg and hits a Canadian destroyer on him, and the last shot, his finisher, to retain the ROH world title. So Adam Cole retains the title in his first match in New Japan in a long time.
Yeah, what did he do? He did great. He didn't. I don't know. I mean, who do we blame for this match?
Because
I didn't think they clicked. I didn't think Adam Cole and Ospreay clicked. To me, listen, I'm not the biggest Adam Cole guy. I just didn't see how they clicked.
Remember the great match that we saw Adam Cole wrestle against AJ Styles in Philadelphia?
Yes, that was a good one. And now, he can have good matches. Like him and Kyle O'Reilly was a fantastic match at the end of last year.
Yeah.
He can have really great matches.
I've seen him have good matches against Jay Briscoe.
Mm-hmm. I really expected more out of this match. Ospreay loses again. I mean, not that I thought he was going to win, but he aside from that single Kushida win, how many single matches has he lost, Ospreay?
Kushida win? He never beat Kushida.
No. He never did. Because everybody thought that he was going to win that opening match, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was his debut match, and he lost, and then he challenged again for the belt at, Dominion, I believe, and then Kushida beat him again. So probably Will Ospreay's, well, obviously his biggest moment in New Japan was winning the best of the Super Juniors against Taguchi in a match of the year candidate, in my opinion. But
right, and he had the Ricochet match as well. I mean, that was...
After that, though.
Yeah, the guy doesn't win. the guy doesn't win.
You can only have one Dolph Ziggler in on the New Japan roster. That slot's taken.
Oh wow! I'm kind of surprised at that. I mean, again, he's not going to beat Adam Cole here for the Ring of Honor belt, but make it a non-title match. I mean, they don't seem to have a problem with that, Colin.
No, which brings us to our next match, the semi-main event of the evening, Bad Luck Fale taking on Kazuchika Okada. Damon, look. This was a fine match. Okada and Tanahashi are two guys that can always bring out the best in Bad Luck Fale, but man, I was just not into this. I think it went way too long. This match went 17 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was checking my phone for a lot of this match. I was just not enveloped in this at all. And it ended just like I said it would. Okada hits the Tombstone Rainmaker for the 1-2-3, and everybody goes home happy.
Yeah, I think I liked it a little bit more than you did. I
was bored with it.
I think you're bored with it because we have seen this a lot, and it seems like we've seen this a lot in a relatively short amount of time. I don't think anybody was excited at the prospect of a non-title match. I don't think anybody really thought that Fale was winning this match. Maybe they did. Maybe, I guess of all the matches, there were, it seems like there were a lot of them that you could say that to. You know, you could say, there's no way that guy's winning, and we know the finish, and, you know.
It was almost the theme of this night.
Yeah, it really was. But I liked it. I like the fact that Fale's working over Okada's arm for the majority of the match. I like the fact that Okada couldn't hit, or he hit the Rainmaker, but it was weak. It was like a weak attempt. He couldn't really get full strength behind it. And then when he finally did, I like the fact that he had to dig deep in his reservoir of moves and finally hit that pile driver that he was trying to hit all match and Fale was powering out of. Fale's Fale. You know, Fale's Fale. I don't know. Maybe I went into it with no expectations. Maybe I went into it with, because I really didn't. I really didn't go into it with a whole hell of a lot of expectations. But I didn't think that this was bad.
It wasn't bad at all, but I just felt like I had seen this 1,000 times. I was kind of bored with it. Not a bad match, but it's certainly nothing that I'm going to go back and check out again.
No.
And there goes someone's theory of Fale picking up the win and then challenging Okada in New Zealand. I apologize that that's not happening, but...
No. We knew that wasn't happening. I mean, I knew that wasn't happening. They're not going to rearrange booking for that those shows.
I was kind of on board with it.
Well, I mean, it possibly could. It's not like it's it's not like Stranger Things have happened, but nah. I mean, I just think these shows are, I don't want to say they're vacation shows for these guys, but they're not going to work around the booking in Japan for these shows. But all right, no biggie. But I liked it. I thought the match was okay. I mean, listen, nobody's going to go back and watch a Fale Okada match, right? I mean, that's like if you have the opportunity to go back and watch something, you're probably not going to pick that feud.
That would be the last match that I would watch if I was going to the electric chair.
But it was okay. I mean, this match was fine. It was
it was what it was.
Right. Perfect.
Yep. And we talked about the main event for this evening. Of course, Kenny Omega retaining his G1 briefcase. So let's move on to the last night of destruction here. This took place earlier this morning, September 25th, from Kobe, in front of an audience of 5,432. And this kicked off with a tag team match featuring Tiger Mask, Taguchi, and Henare taking on Will Ospreay, Rocky Romero, and Trent Beretta.
Yeah. Taguchi looked good.
I really like Henare.
Me too. Manare looked good.
He's a different breed of young lion.
I think he got a lot of offense in, more than I even thought. He had a lot of fire once again.
He just has a unique look, too. He looks like, he can really, kick some ass.
Yeah. I think... Also, with Henare in the match, it was weird that he didn't take the job, right? He didn't, tap.
Yeah, Romero did.
Yeah, Taguchi making Romero tap was kind of strange to me, given that we had a young lion in there. That was, a perfect opportunity for them. And then the weirdness ensued with Roppongi Vice after the match.
Yeah, Trent Beretta acting very strange. It sounds like there is some dissension in the ranks there.
Yeah, even during the match, in the beginning spots, Henare got a little bit more offense in on Rocky Romero. And did you hear Trent Beretta, like, get your ass together, or get your act together, or get your shit together?
Yeah, a lot of lewd comments by Trent Beretta.
Yes, and then and after the match, kind of left him for dead. He walks back to the back. So I don't know, maybe there's some dissension going on there. Who knows? But they always seem to kind of not get along, even during the match. And we'll see. We'll see if anything comes of that. But, fine match. Ospreay in the opener. Kind of weird, too, right?
Yeah. It was funny because when I started watching this show earlier this afternoon and I heard that music hit, I'm like, wait a minute. Will Ospreay's in the opening match on this card? That's kind of strange. But, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, let me be honest with you. And I know there's a lot of scuttlebutt about how, you know, he's going to have a lighter schedule and that he's really banged up and, you know, maybe
at 23.
Yeah, 23 nerve damage and shit. On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think New Japan has done with Will Ospreay booking, push, where he is on the card, who he is in New Japan? Scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you with what Will Ospreay is right now?
Oh boy, scale of 1 to 10. I don't even know if I can give it a number. Okay,
really?
See, here's the thing. I didn't have a problem with him losing to Kushida twice because Will Ospreay is a young guy. He's 23. He's got his, well, hopefully he's got his whole, you know, future ahead of him. Mm-hmm. I thought that obviously it was the right decision for him to win Best of the Super Juniors. I was hoping that he would be booked a little more strongly because I thought that the logical thing would be to have the Best of the Super Juniors winner versus the Super J Cup winner go head to head at Wrestle Kingdom for the junior heavyweight title. But Will Ospreay, I don't know, he's lost a bit of that shine that he had on him when he first came into New Japan. He really has.
I agree with that. Now, I'm glad that you said that. Who else did we say about almost those exact same words? Who else did we say earlier this year kind of fit into that? Begins with a K and it ends in an omega. Right? So, you know, while I guess there's ebbs and flows and there's peaks and valleys, and I'm hoping that there is a peak around the corner and that at the end of the year we do have that end of the story, as you like to say, you know, that completion of the tale of Ospreay and Kushida.
The trilogy.
You know, the trilogy. Maybe, you know, I think that would be a nice fit. Just like you said, the Best of the Super Junior winner, Super J Cup winner, kind of match it up. But there's a little bit more that needs to have happen before that happens. And Bushi's in the way right now, and he's got the strap and looks to be the top dog as a junior. Yeah, it just seems like, I don't know. The shine has kind of come off of Will Ospreay a little bit when it comes to New Japan. And I'm curious to see if that, you know, if it becomes an omega situation where we said the same thing and lo and behold, he rockets once again. So I'm hoping that's the case.
All right. So the next match was a tag team match featuring the team of Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Chase Owens. Now we have a correction to make because last week I had said that Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan collectively were the Bullet Club Hunters, but our loyal listener on Twitter, S-Bach, informed me in great detail, I might add, that Captain New Japan was actually gunning to be in the Bullet Club Hunters. He was not an official member yet, and Yoshitatsu actually had a poll on his Twitter, and yes, Damon, this is a thing. I know you're sitting there thinking, like, what the fuck? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, you know, I know S-Bach is a huge Captain New Japan guy. So, if anybody's going to set the story straight when it comes to this, that is true. I mean, listen, for a guy who's not officially a Bullet Club Hunter, he certainly has his gear and he certainly has his whole entire gimmick centered around being a Bullet Club Hunter. He's tag teaming with Yoshitatsu, who is the Bullet Club Hunter. Okay. All right. Maybe he's not, he hasn't been officially crowned as a member, but you know, listen, I don't think anybody watching this is thinking, oh, he's not a Bullet Club Hunter. He, you know, who the fuck? I can't believe we're talking about the Bullet Club. Okay, go ahead.
I know you're thinking it's 10 o'clock at night, Colin.
Right. I got toothpicks in my eyes here, and I'm talking about the Bullet Club Hunters. All right, go ahead.
No, but much like the main event of Wrestle Kingdom 8, which was left up to a fan vote, Yoshitatsu decided to leave it up to a fan vote of whether or not Captain New Japan should be a Bullet Club Hunter. And Yoshitatsu cuts a promo, and he denies Captain New Japan entry into the prestigious Bullet Club Hunters stable. And Captain New Japan didn't take to that very kindly, and he turned his back on Yoshitatsu, attacked him, and joined up with the Bullet Club. And Damon, I think that,
is that official?
It is official, and I think it's safe to say that the Bullet Club has officially jumped the shark.
Yep, we've reached Virgil levels.
we've reached Horace Hogan levels.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Wall Street.
I'm gonna be truthful. I mean, I guess Bullet Club merch still moves, right? I guess it. And I don't know what, like, if Adam Cole,
Baby.
Adam Cole, right? Does he get a cut of Bullet Club stuff? Does Hangman Page get a cut of Bullet Club merch money?
I don't know. I'd have to ask Kevin Kelly question.
Yeah, I have no idea. So, but truth be told, I can't imagine him getting 1/8 of Bullet Club merch is paying the rent, right? If I'm a guy trying to make a name for himself in the world of professional wrestling, I want to touch Bullet Club with a 10-foot pole. Like,
Bullet Club is tainted meat at this point.
I wouldn't want to be just another, like, again, it's
another
it's
geek,
a geek. Yeah. I mean, it's gotten geek dumbed.
It's NWO level stuff. I think that Ghetto needs to download the Death of WCW audiobook, which you can get from Amazon.com, and maybe learn from some of the mistakes that WCW made with the NWO, because this is that same kind of, they're heading down that same road here.
Yeah, look, but I'll also say this: when they stop making money off of it, is that's when it's going to die, and they're going to milk it till it's dead. That's the worst thing about things, though. I mean, you could say the same thing about music. You could say the same thing about television shows. Once you find a nice formula, you know, it just gets milked to death. And what we're seeing is a carbon copy of a carbon copy of a car. Captain New Japan is in Bullet Club. Come on. Really? I mean, seriously, everybody who's wearing your Bullet Club t-shirt, are you happy with that? Is that, you know what I mean? Like.
Well, Damon, when you're Bullet Club, you're Bullet Club for life.
All right. Well.
Too sweet.
Again, it's 2016. We're still
cross-chopping and too-sweeting. Right, what the fuck?
Right. It's fucking ridiculous. Again, we're going to milk it for all it's worth. Good for the. All right.
All righty. Third match here. We've got Togi Makabe and Tomoaki Honma taking on Hiroyoshi Tenzan and one of the newest young lions, Kenna Mitsu. I thought it was kind of funny how Honma tapped out the young lion with a Boston crab, giving him a taste of his own medicine.
Yeah, he had a lot of fire, Kanemitsu, in the beginning of the match. Maybe a little bit too much fire, a little too much heart and not enough brains, because there was a couple tough moments in there where I was like, oh my God, this kid's getting brutalized.
I don't like him as much as Hanare, I'll tell you straight out.
I don't think the company does either, to be honest with you. I mean, it's you could just look at the amount of bookings that everybody's getting. But this was a pretty big spot for him, I think, for a young lion. And again, though, I really felt bad for him because there were a couple of times where Honma and Makabe were just laying in some shit.
Like, oh, somebody, some of the chops.
Yeah, somebody didn't sweep the fucking dojo because they were getting cracked. Look. It's 10:30 at night. We're talking about this fucking match. It was fine. He gave him the spot where he could get out of the Boston Crab. He had some nice roll up spots. It was a match. You know, nothing to write home about.
All right, the next match we've got Red Dragon taking on the team of Manabu Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata. We had yet another amazing high-flying spot by Nakanishi here. There was a point. Now, I don't know if this was intentional or if this was, you know, just Nakanishi losing his footing when he's trying to climb to the top rope and he just couldn't quite get up there. You know, it took him like 3 tries to get up to the top rope and hit that crossbody. Boy, that was scary.
It was. It that's exactly the right word I would use. It was scary because I was like, just don't have to do this, dude. And here's the thing. I'm not the biggest knock on Ishii guy. I've never been. Even when he was at his peak, I was never a huge fan. But, you know, I got to give him respect for trying. You know what I mean? You got to give him full props for trying. You don't have to try that shit. You're going to kill yourself, dude. Stop it. Knock it off. And then at the end of the match, where he tried to do the deadlift spot, you know, he's in the arm bar and he tries to power himself, you know, tries to power Kyle O'Reilly up.
Yeah.
That was a struggle. That was a struggle too. And then Bobby Fish just lays into that kick. Ugh, he ate one. It was a weird finish.
Yeah, he taps out to a arm bar.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the whole setup for that was kind of weird, where he couldn't get him up. It looked like he just couldn't get him up. And then they improvised the finish. If that's the way it felt, that's the way it seemed. That could be wrong, and that could have been the plan all along. But it felt like it was a little bit impromptu. Nakanishi. I got to give him full marks for trying, but. Yeah, good Lord. Stop doing that stuff. You shouldn't be doing that stuff. Actually, truth be told, he shouldn't be wrestling.
Well, I think that's
is that going too far?
That might be a controversial statement to a lot of our listeners, Damon. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to say that whether or not Nakanishi should still be in the ring or not. But I will say this. The guy has a lot of heart.
He absolutely does. I can't take that away from him. But come on. I mean, he's going to hurt himself. I mean, seriously. In two nights, he's trying to do shit that his body is telling him you can't do anymore. Right?
He can't be doing planches and flying cross bodies like your Ricky Steamboat.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, and if you're going to do that shit, you're going to hurt yourself or you're going to hurt somebody else. No, I don't want you in a fucking ring.
Actually, Ricky Steamboat probably still could do all that, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah. Next match, actually, one of my favorite matches of the night. I really enjoyed this. The team of David Finlay, Ricochet, and Satoshi Kojima taking on the Young Bucks and Adam Cole for the NEVER Openweight Tag Team Championship.
Yep. And again, this was I guess they held up the belts officially, right? They said...
Matt Sydal, you're too busy...
lounging on the beach. Unbelievable. I can't believe what a story this is.
This is the story of the year, actually.
It really is crazy. He's just not going to show up. I mean, again, it's the NEVER fucking belts, but still, it's just a crazy fucking scenario. So they're going to have this match. It is going to be for the belts. Did you hear the beginning? They were like, hey, that's not Matt Sydal. Young Bucks and Adam Cole, they're like, hey, that's not Matt Sydal. And they go, Matt Sydal's dad doesn't suck at wrestling.
I couldn't make out what he was saying.
I think that's what he said, right? That's Matt Sydal's dad doesn't suck at wrestling. if we're talking about Finlay. Ricochet, again, a lightning rod. Whenever he's in the match, the match just takes off in intensity. It becomes 10 times better in my mind. He lifts my interest in the match. Good stuff.
Did you hear
the announcers? You know, going crazy over David Finlay. No more dojo. No more young lions. Did you hear the announcers saying that? And good. I'm happy for.
What I find amazing is that. Okay, so David Finlay's attire. He had to order that. Now think about that. He had in his mind when he ordered his trunks. He's like, all right, I'm not a young lion anymore. I'm gonna get some. Some cool ring gear. Okay, what am I gonna wear? What am I gonna order? I know. I'm gonna get a pair of like leopard skin, you know, briefs with a black binding, and I don't know what's written on the ass.
I know. You know what? I don't know either. What is written on his ass?
I can't even make it out.
Yeah, it's like kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a ransom note,
and it's and it's written in like rainbow colors.
Right. It's like, you know, you cut out the. Letters in the newspaper.
That is the.
It's like a ransom note on his ass.
Oh my God! I never thought of that. But
hey, I don't know. I you know, maybe it's a rib. Maybe he's just like, I'm gonna get the fucking stupidest goddamn gear I can possibly do, just to see if I can do it.
Well, he succeeded.
You really don't like it, do you?
I'm just amazed by it that he actually ordered that.
Yeah, like that's what he settled on.
That would be like me. Like there was a time this is gonna be good.
This is a good story. You know, this one's gonna be good.
Have you ever seen the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling? One of my favorite movies. It came out a couple years ago.
Kind of
an indie movie. But anyway, yeah, Ryan Gosling's in it, and he has this jacket in it that he wears, and it's like a white jacket, and it has
what? You can't even get it out.
It has a scorpion on the back, right? It has a jacket.
Tell me you have this jacket.
No, but I did order it.
You ordered the jacket, but you never wore it?
I ordered it, but then I canceled it because I was thinking to myself, Colin, you're going to look like a fat Elvis impersonator or something. You've got to look up this jacket and then picture me wearing it.
All I'm picturing
is... Just Google Drive jacket.
I'm picturing, what was it? Oh, yeah, it was, Michael Jackson's video for Beat It.
Yeah.
And the guy with, the two gangs and the one guy, and he had the white jacket with I guess it was a dragon, but maybe it was a scorpion. Maybe it was this jacket. Wow, a white jacket.
Yeah, a white jacket with a big gold scorpion on the back. You have to look it up and then picture me wearing the jacket. But it was like $250.
Oh my!
And
God.
And eventually, I'm like, Colin, where the fuck are you gonna wear this? You're not gonna wear this in public. Are you out of your mind?
Who the fuck are you, Sting?
So eventually, long story short, I ended up canceling the jacket, getting a full refund. Thank God.
You went through with it.
Oh, yeah, I ordered it, but then I canceled it and got the refund.
Oh, my God, wow. I thought you put it in, your shopping cart and, fucking, common sense took over, and you're like, all right, well, I am not going to.
No,
through with it.
You had to special order this online. This was.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was going on in your life?
But I was in college, and I thought that was going to get me all the chicks.
Being in a motorcycle gang?
If I wore the same jacket that Ryan Gosling war in Drive.
That's gonna help you with the ladies?
Yeah, that's what I thought. Well,
wow.
Anyway.
That's a good story.
Where was I?
That's right up there with the Hiroki Goto foot job.
Where was I? Yeah. David Finley. Tights aside, goofy leopard tights aside, I thought he looked really good here.
Sexy?
No, I'm talking about his wrestling ability in the ring.
My bad. Look, he's first of all, I'm glad he's got a belt. He's got himself a little title. He's got himself the Never Six Man, which is a nice little stepping stone. So you could see in his eyes that it was kind of like, it's the Never Six Man belt, but it's still a cool moment. He's no longer the guy that's doing fucking jobs to Jay White in a Boston Crab, right?
Right.
I mean, seriously, that was just a handful of months ago, guys, right? So that's good. The one thing that stuck out in my mind, Colin, was that you were 0-2 with your Young Bucks predictions.
I was.
I thought that
they were walking home with all the gold.
Yeah, they walked home with none of the gold.
Back to Rancho Cucamonga, California.
Is that where they're from?
Yeah.
That's what it has. That's how you pronounce that?
Rancho Cucamonga, I think.
That's the name of a fucking town? Wow. Okay. I didn't know that's how you
Rancho
pronounce
it. Rancho Cucamonga.
Cucamonga?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Cheryl, have you ever heard of Rancho Cucamonga?
Sure, that's an actual town?
Yeah, she's like, it's California. Wow.
Yeah, see? That's where the Bucks are from.
She knows her geography. She's good for her. Look, I thought the match was good. I enjoyed the match. I thought it was probably in the top five matches of the weekend.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. This one kept my interest all the way through. Ricochet picks up the win with the Shooting Star Press
off of the. So what was it? It was kind of like the.
Yeah, so Finley did like his rolling senton on Nick Jackson, then Ricochet hits the amazing Shooting Star Press, and they win the Never Openweight Six Man Tag Titles. Then Finley gets on the mic afterwards, and he challenges the Young Bucks for the IWGP Junior Tag Title. So it's looking like Finley is Matt Sydal's replacement as Ricochet's tag team partner. What do you think of that?
Well, I think David Finley's very good, but it is a rapid progression, right? It is a...
Do you think Matt Seidel is fired?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so, too.
I mean, listen, people get high. You know, things happen
in wrestling. People get high?
Well, I hired, but yeah, I may have stopped at high. A Freudian slip. Listen, I don't know the full story yet, but if he's doing what I'm hearing he did and what it looks like he did, that's pretty shit. How do you trust a guy like that? You just don't show up. I don't know.
Well, I'm praying that that's not the case. I'm praying that Matt Seidel is still with New Japan and this whole mess is going to get sorted out.
One big misunderstanding, right?
Right, just like that. Wasn't that a Genesis song? Or Phil Collins?
Must be some misunderstanding. My wife's looking at me like, you're a fucking...
That was Genesis, right?
It was Genesis, right? Yeah.
Not solo Phil Collins.
Listen, I hate Phil Collins.
I love Phil Collins.
Do you really?
I do.
Ugh, he is middle of the road. Yeah, he's not my thing. Why are you looking at me like I'm insane? You know I don't like Phil Collins.
Super underrated drummer. Anyway.
All right.
Let's move up the card here, Damon. We're about to go home pretty soon.
I'm exhausted. My wife's like, can we go to bed soon? I can't believe we're sitting here talking about this dumb shit.
We've got a special 8-man tag match featuring Hirooki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, the Briscoes taking on Kenny Omega, Bad Luck Fale, and the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yep.
With Tama Tonga picking up the win on Mark Briscoe, solidifying them as the challengers for the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Titles.
Okay, everybody in your cars, listening at home, on the subway, wherever you may be listening to our fine voices right now, raise your hand if you're excited. No one raised their hand.
I'm going to put in some crickets there.
Please. We need the soundbite of the crickets. I'm going to be honest. I was watching this match just thinking, I can't, kind of what we've been saying this whole entire show, I cannot believe that this is where we are. I can't believe that this is where we are. Don't be surprised if G.O.D. wins your belts. Right?
Oh, I think they're winning.
Yeah, me too.
They're winning because, like you said, you know, this tag tournament's right around the corner. It's in December, you know. I just don't see the Briscoes hanging on to these belts for much longer. And I thought that we were going to get a combination of both tournaments. Wouldn't that be cool, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
To have, like, Roppongi Vice and the Young Bucks.
I mean, we still might have, you know, the juniors in the tag tournament. I think that's still a possibility, but...
Ricochet and Finley now.
Yeah, Ricochet and Finley.
It's my new favorite tag team.
I'm sure it is. GOD's winning these belts, guys. I cannot believe we're fucking saying that. All right, this was a match. Go ahead, next.
Next match, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Juice Robinson, and Kushida taking on Sonata, Evil, and Bushi. How about, okay, now Tanahashi, this was a night off for him, you know, again.
He's been nowhere to be found in this entire show, these three shows, right?
Yeah, Hiroshi Tanahashi's been just kind of laying back, taking it easy, you know, and God knows he is... earned it, you know. Yeah. I'm sure he's still hurting from the G1, but how about our boy, our resident cupcake baker, Juice Robinson? I thought he showed a lot of fire in this match once again, you know, cleaning house at one point.
Yeah, I think you're looking at our new never champion, Juice. Yeah. Robinson. I don't know. Juice has improved. He absolutely has, and to me, you know, he was one of the shining stars in this match. I enjoyed Juice here as well. I mean, it's, you know, it's not an award-winning performance, mind you, but he did well. I think this match was good. I think it was no surprise of him taking the fall, Juice, that is.
And there was no surprise of Kushida taking the mist.
Oh, God almighty.
Why is it always Kushida?
Well, I mean, you know,
well, he's a junior,
they do pair up with each other, but Yeah, it's like, God almighty. He just looks like a boob with that.
I can't picture Kushida without the mist anymore.
I know. What's going to happen when he doesn't take the mist anymore? It's going to feel awkward, wouldn't it? He just looks stupid at this point. Like he just looks absolutely silly, not being prepared for the fact that that mist is coming.
And it's almost like he pauses too.
Yeah,
like you can see that he like pauses and just waits for it.
Maybe he likes it.
I mean, it could be very refreshing for all we know.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like he's writhing around in pain, but, you know, maybe it's something that's pleasurable to him. He looks forward to his eyes burning. That's the only excuse I can come up with because it makes no sense to me, but what do I know? He gets missed again. Hey, another Phil Collins reference. Oh, he got missed again.
This is the Phil Collins Purocast.
It really is. Yeah. What's your favorite Genesis song?
My favorite, probably Turn It On Again.
That's not a bad one. That's actually as far as Genesis songs go, that's not a bad one. Mine's probably Paper Late.
Wow.
I like Paper Late. Matter of fact, I have that song kicking off one of my Spotify playlists. Fun fact. Paper Late. All right. So what was this? Then that's it, right? We're done? We're good? Oh, no, there's more matches.
We've got two more matches here. Semi-main event. An 8-man tag match, Damon. Featuring the team of Kazuchika Okada, Yoshihashi, Jado and Gedo, fuck you, versus Naomichi Marufuji, Toriano, Daisuke Harada, and Kotoje from Noah.
Noah. I liked it better when it was Shibata that was against all these Noah guys, right?
Yeah.
I do like the fact that we are building up toward the Marufuji Okada. I think everybody's looking forward to that in King of Pro Wrestling. But to me, the whole feud with Noah was all about Shibata and the brutality that was about to ensue. Now, we got a little taste of that in the Lion's Gate show, right? But I kind of wanted to see that extended. Now, again, Shibata's hurt, so it is going to be what it's going to be. But, Okada and Marufuji's fine, but the rest I really wanted to see elsewhere. This, like, to me, I would have liked to have seen Nagata and Nakanishi in this role as opposed to...
I thought that's where we were going because that, you know, we had talked about that was probably the perfect place for them to be, you know, these New Japan veterans kind of defending the turf.
Right, right. That's why that's to me that made more sense than what we got here today. I thought the match was okay. I thought that match was decent. But I don't want to say that there was, you know, nothing that you're going to watch again, but it's probably not anything anybody's going to watch again, right?
Yeah. If Shibata was in this match and we saw, you know, more brutality, this would have been a lot more interesting. But I will say it did make me look forward to Marufuji versus Okada at King of Pro Wrestling. You know, these guys had one of the standout matches in the G1, and I think that they are going to have a match of the year candidate at King of Pro Wrestling. That is what I'm predicting. Hot take from Colin.
Okay. Well, there's plenty of them to go around this year in New Japan. So if that's going to make the list, it's going to be a humdinger, I hope. I think it'd be good. I think it'd be very good. The match itself, okay. I don't think there's anything to write home about.
No. So, Yoshihashi picking up the win for his team with his finish on Harada. And there you go. And that leads us to the main event of the evening for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. The champion... Michael Elgin defending against Tetsuya Naito. And wow, this match went 32 minutes long. I was a little bit scared of the shenanigans that were occurring in this match, but I will say I don't think that they hurt the match, actually.
Me neither.
I think that they were brief enough. It was almost like, do you remember... when AJ Styles took on Minoru Suzuki.
Yep.
And there was that brief Suzuki-Goon interference. And that's what it kind of reminded me of. I was thinking of that. And I thought that this was a great match.
Me too. And I feel bad because I'm exhausted and I'm barely awake. And I feel like I can't give it justice, the match. But I thought the match was very strong. And I agree with what you say in the sense of the interference was there. And it felt like it went on forever. Like so, you know, Los Ingobernables comes in and then working over Elgin, and then in the come make the save is Tanahashi, Kushida, who once again gets fucking missed, right?
Yeah.
Does he get missed here? I'm not sure. Did he get missed? I'm going to say he did. Why do I think he got missed? Maybe he didn't. Who knows? Who cares? But yes, it worked out perfectly because it got rid of, you know, that element of interference out of the way, and they still were able to have another at least 5-8 minutes of strong pro wrestling, good match. Really great match, actually. I thought it was a very good match.
And you know what? There was a point towards the end where I really thought that Elgin was going to hit that Elgin bomb. And
me too.
I swear to God, that last one.
Yeah, there were a couple. There were a couple there that I was like, okay, you know, he's going to pull it out. His only title defense.
Yep, this was, well, his second title defense.
Right, only title defense in New Japan.
Right.
That's crazy, isn't it? I you know, and again, it kind of leads into a point earlier in the show, was it was you know, the G1 and all the single matches that he had. It felt like it was he had more. And I remember even sitting here last week talking about, you know, he's had a good run, and oh yeah, the matches with Kenny Omega, and you know, we couldn't really come up with one because there really wasn't one. A title defense. But yep, that's it. So there you go. You got your Naito Intercontinental belt.
And how about a fun Naito fact here? Naito apparently is the first man to win all of the major single championships in New Japan. So he's won the IWGP heavyweight title, the IC title, the never open wing title. He's won the G1 and he's won the New Japan Cup.
What are you thinking? Are you thinking wrestler of New Japan, wrestler of the year?
He's definitely going to be in that category, I can tell you that.
I mean, in this calendar year, you know, he's got the Intercontinental, he's had the world, you know, the IWGP heavyweight title.
And he won the New Japan Cup.
New Japan Cup. He's had a pretty stellar year.
He has.
You remember who he wrestled at the Dome?
Naito. Naito wrestled Goto at the Dome.
And he lost.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lost. Yeah. Think about that.
Yeah. I mean,
I remember us talking with Kevin Kelly about that and him saying what a weird finish it was.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, yeah. It was he was like, you know, it shocked him, you know. Yeah. He's had a hell of a year, Colin. He's had a hell of a fucking year.
The crowd loved Naito here in Kobe, by the way.
Yeah, they were totally behind him. Yeah, they really were. Again, I think Elgin had a great match. I'm kind of curious as to where he winds up as, you know, as we move forward here, where he winds up in the Dome. But yep. Again, I feel like I'm downplaying a match just because I'm fucking exhausted. But this is a great match. Go out of your way to watch it. And I would say it was the match of the weekend. The match of, not the weekend, but of destruction.
The match of the millennium.
Maybe not the millennium, but of the destruction shows, I think this match, by and large, was the best of those three shows.
Absolutely. And I think that this destruction show was the best of the three shows.
Me too. Yep, they saved the best for last. The first show probably being the worst of the three.
I hope they don't do this again.
Stretch it out over. Listen,
yeah,
if they can,
please.
If they can stretch three gates out of it, they're going to do it. If they can stretch 12 gates out of it, you're going to see 12 destruction shows.
This could have been one show with all the major matches.
It really probably could have. It really probably could have. But again, if the gates are relatively the same for two as they were for three, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? I'd be curious. I can't imagine them doing it again. But we'll see. You know, it's all about the money. It's all about the Benjamins.
It's all about the yen.
It's all about the yen. That is correct. Okay, we done?
Yes, we are done. That is a wrap for this show.
You should see the smile on my wife's face right now.
So we just want to thank all of our listeners once again for always tuning in and checking us out on iTunes and Stitcher and visiting NewJapanPuroCast.com. You can find links to all social media, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, Stitcher, our RSS feed. Everything is there, NewJapanPuroCast.com. And you can also listen to us on the great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Just visit VoicesOfWrestling.com. And lots of great shows on there. Rich and Joe do a great job running that site.
They sure do.
And we're going to be back here same time next week. Well, yeah, next Sunday to talk all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. Damon, any final thoughts? Damon's giving us the shemp.
No, I'm good. Wrap it up. Thank you. Thanks for sticking with us, guys. We love you, and I'm going to bed.
Alrighty, so on that note, for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.